If you have your Bibles, join me in Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Kind of remind us of where we were last week. Paul told the church at Colossae to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And rule means to take control. When we live our Christian lives, we have to have Him control us so that He can give us His perfect peace. And then we discussed, as the church individually has the peace of Christ, they bring that peace into the church, which brings unity. Then He said, let the Word live in you, not only the peace of Christ, but let the Word control you. So this is very, very important. Because if Christ is controlling your heart in peace and in the Word, it really radically transforms how we view life and how we live life. And that word, let dwell in your hearts, was to take up permanent residency. And so the Word of God is central to experiencing the peace of God. And then he went on to talk about the vertical and horizontal dimensions of this, teaching and admonishing, this is verse 16, teaching and admonishing one another with wisdom. This peace of God, the Word of God that dwells in our hearts, flows out into the relationship of the Christian community. That's us. And so then he said it was horizontal, that is, our worship of God by singing hymns, songs, and spiritual songs. And again, Paul closed both of those verses in verse 15, be thankful. And in verse 16, be thankful. We have so many things to be thankful for. Count them. There's a lot of them. And Paul will mention that a little bit here today as we go through this. Now this, I didn't do verse 17 last time because I really think it's a prelude to the household codes that are coming. Because if you miss this, it's very difficult to get on with the household codes, that is, husbands and wives, parents and children, slaves and masters. So you have to get to this one first, I think, and I think that's why Paul put it there. That's why I saw the natural division of this, and it's so dang important. Very important. And this should be the one you really listen to. I'll get into the wives, and then don't worry, wives, next week, it's the husband's turn. But first of all, the Apostle Paul tells us, honor the name of Christ. Honor the name of Christ, verse 17. This is something that we do daily. Paul puts it out there daily, but listen to this. And whatever you do in word or deed, let's stop there for a minute. And whatever you do in word and deed, poio, and that means whatever you do refers to do something, to make a practice, or to live out. So this is a daily thing. This isn't something that we do when we come to church. We're going to do this in church, and then when we go out there, we're not going to mess with it. No, because if you're letting the peace of Christ rule in your heart, you let the Word of Christ dwell in your heart, and then you're living in community, we take that community out there. And so Paul puts it very masterfully, whatever you do in word and deed. Word is logos, and that can refer to Jesus. He is the logos, the Word. It can also refer to the Bible. It is the logos, the gospel of Jesus. But here it refers to speech. And I think honoring the name of Christ begins with speech. Jesus said it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, it's what proceedeth out that defiles the man. So part of honoring the name of Christ, which I think is where Paul's going with this, at least in my mind and my study of it, the name of Christ is honored by our words. How we talk. How, not just in church, but out there, when we go out those doors and go out those doors and we go into the community, our words, what we say, that doesn't have power like the charismatics think, but what it does do is it shows people there's a difference between them and us. And so he says here, whatever you do in word or deed. Colossians 4, 5, and 6, Paul will hit this when we get into chapter 4. Be wise in the way you act towards outsider, making the most of every opportunity. Let your logos, your conversations, always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Last week I was visiting a gentleman, and one of the aides came in and she was yelling. I have a badge that I wear and it pulls out like this. And she was yelling at this person and he said, I don't want that. I don't care if you want it or not. I don't want that. And then she saw me over in the corner with my back talking to this guy. And she came over and she goes, and what are you doing? And I spun around and I went. I showed her my chaplain badge. I'm sorry. That was a moment where I didn't even speak a word. Now, granted, I was pretty upset, understandably so. One thing I'm finding out in this thing is you don't mess with chaplains. Whatever you do, and I was just measured. I just spun around and I went, because I got a little stretch thing on it, I can pull it out like that. And she went, backed off. Look, we know the truth. We're believers. The Word of God resides in us. We are saved. We are His children. And so when we go out the doors this morning, and whenever you go into your workplaces, your social places, wherever it is, you have to watch how you talk. I have to watch how I talk. Why? Because we're trying to honor the name of Christ. Proverbs 17, 27 says this, a man of knowledge uses his word with restraint. That's all he did. A man of understanding is even-tempered. I told one of our workers about it, and she goes, I'll go mess him up if you want me to. And I said, no. That's not how we roll. But I did appreciate the backup. Whatever you logos, whatever you speak, should honor Christ. And then Paul writes this, or deed, ergon. I've seen that word before. We've all seen it before. It just means that which is done with effort and energy. Jesus said this. Oh, wait a minute. Let me go back to this for a second. So important. Can't stress this enough. It's so important what we do and what we say, because there's a world out there that's looking at us. And when they see a Christian use either foul language or talk down to people, it muddies the name of Christ and may hinder them from ever coming to saving faith. I told you, that's what you guys are. You are all hypocrites. So we have to watch it. Yeah. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let me say this. Please, let me just say it because I've been saying it for 37 years. This life is not about us. It has never been about us. This life is about the one who redeemed us, who paid for our sin. And as we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, we live that out, not in my own strength, but in the strength of the Holy Spirit. And people can begin to see the radical transformation that took place. This is not about, look what I did. See what I did? Look, I'm so good. I'm awesome. I'm cool. I'm hip. It's not about me. not about you. This is about bringing glory. And they say, wait a minute, why are you so different? You don't talk back to somebody. You don't do this. You don't. What is wrong with you? Well, I'll tell you what. I've trusted in Christ. Ah, so there is a difference. Yes, there is. Believe me, I hear a lot of it. A lot of it. And you have to be careful with it. Nobody does it perfectly. I don't want to stand up here and say, well, look, you know, every day you're going to live it perfectly. No, you're not. I really did want to say something at the moment, but that's all I said. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's interesting. God prepared in advance for us to do. You think tomorrow morning you're going to get up and you're just going to go about your day, and God doesn't have a plan for that day, and you're going to come into opportunities that you go, I don't have time for that. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Those are opportunities that God has provided for you to do the good things for Him, to live for Him. The way we speak, the way we act, the way we talk with others, huge, very, very important. And by the way, if you don't get this down, it is impossible for wives to love their husbands, for husbands to love their wives, for parents to parent their children, for those who are bosses and those who are not bosses to actually function in the world. Because when you're out there and maybe your boss says something to you that you don't like, you just fire back. No, this has to be nailed down. And I think that's why Paul puts it here. This has to be nailed down. Look, you guys and gals know I love you, and I preach because I love you, and I preach because God tells me you got to preach. But that fact aside, I want the best for y'all. I want you to be the best representation of Jesus to a lost world that needs to be. Whether you're out in the parking lot, and you see a person struggling to get their groceries in there, God has prepared in advance for you to do good works. Look. Watch. Helping some, I don't know why I picked older people here, but well, because I am one. No. Helping somebody across the street. What about just giving directions at a bus station? These are all moments that I think oftentimes we miss. When I go into places, I thank the nurses for what they do. And they look at me like I'm from Mars when I say it. I give candy out. The ladies in my office like candy. Can I have two pieces? Okay. But no more. Bad for you. Whatever you do in word and deed, very important, because then we get to the character issue. Verse 17b, listen to this. Whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you say, think about Jesus. Whatever you do, think about Jesus. When we in here together, think about Jesus. We should be thinking about Jesus. This is church. Do everything as a reference to everyday life. Paul's not isolating this to the confines of the four walls of the church and the Sunday school. He's saying, look, you guys live in a pagan culture. And by the way, we live in a pagan culture. Right? We live in a pagan culture. Do everything. Reference to everyday life and activities. And whatever you, everything that you do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is something about the name of God. Do you know in the Old Testament, God's name was so holy they couldn't even speak it? I think of Moses. Do not come any closer, Exodus 3:5, when Moses is at the burning bush. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Wherever you work and whatever you do during the day, obviously you try to please those who are over you, and you try to do that in a way that brings honor to the company or wherever it is. You do those things ultimately in the name of God. God's name is so holy. And by the way, God is with us every single second of the day. I told a gentleman that this week. We live in the presence of God. And then 1 Peter says it this way. Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Yes, that is a high standard. And it really does speak to the character issue. What we say and what we do reveals our theology. What we do and what we say reveals our theology. It also reveals what we believe about God. And we have to be careful. And I get it. You're not going to do this perfectly. But the failures should be few and far between. It shouldn't happen like every day, five times a day. That's not very good. Ian McNaughton wrote in his commentary, believers are to live and act as those who bear his name and must do nothing that would make them ashamed to say that they are Christians. This is a principle to live by. Whatever you do, verse 17, whether at home, whether at work, whether in a church, or out and about, this sense of duty must be accompanied with a sense of gratitude and a note of praise, giving thanks to God the Father. Which is exactly what he says here, giving thanks to God the Father through Christ. That's three times. Did you catch that? That's three times Paul said, be thankful. I know you've heard me say this before, but the first sign of a spiritual problem is an attitude of ingratitude. Brothers and sisters, we have been really blessed. We've been blessed. How many of you are going to go home today? Just raise your hand. You have a home. How many of you are going to go hungry today? I'm not. Those two things right there, you are blessed. You know, a lot of the world doesn't have that. We've been so blessed. Actually, I think we've been spoiled. And we forget some of the things that I see daily now. Just, yeah. John MacArthur, one of the great expositors of our time, he's with the Lord now, he wrote this: Thanksgiving becomes part of the fabric of our new life. It's the fruit of the grace of the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Be thankful. Be thankful. And the reason that we're thankful, this word give thanks is euharisto. Euharisto. And that means to express gratitude for benefits and blessings. Let's talk about that just for a minute. What are the blessings and benefits of belonging to Jesus? Number one, first and foremost, you are in a relationship with the Creator of the universe. When you pass from this life, you'll go into glory and see your Savior face to face. A second benefit is that God has abundantly blessed you with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. We have been immeasurably blessed by God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He has given us more than we should have. He has blessed us with so many things. And so when I'm out there and you're out there this week, just praise God. Take a minute, even if the person in the next car looks over and you're praising God and you're talking and they think you're crazy. Take time to do that. God inhabits the praise of His people. It is important. And that's the third time that He used it. Now, I know the men are going, I can't wait. Here we go. Chill out, men. I want you to understand how important what I just said is in the context of everything. Whatever you do in word and deed, do all for the glory of God. If you don't get that down, ain't gonna work. This isn't gonna work. Particularly when it comes to this, wives respect your husbands. And this filters down into everything. We're now entering the home codes of Colossians. The home codes. Now, Paul writes this. Boy, I got a lot to say here. So buckle up. Wives, oh, this is such a tough word. Such a tough word. Wives, submit to your husbands. All right, we'll take a 10-minute break. Gune. It's in the vocative sense in the Greek language. And what does that mean, Pastor Mike? Well, what it means is it's addressed strictly to women. Not transgender, not all that garbage. It's directed exactly to women. Vocative state. Let's review something here real quick. I know you guys and gals know this. You already know it. I know you know it. So God created man in His own image, and in the image of God, He created them male and female. He created them. That's the foundation. There are only two genders. It's life. It's a reality. He's talking specifically to women here. God created male and female. And then God had a plan for male and female. The plan was this. Genesis 2:24. We're going all the way back to the Old Testament, back in the way back. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That is so simple that a third grader could understand it. Man, woman, God wants to bring together in marriage, and as they move forward in life, they start here with their own ideas and thoughts, and as they get closer to Christ, they become one. Let's deal with this word, submit. Hupotasso. I like that word. Hupotasso. It sounds like hupotasso. It means to obey. It means obedience. It means submission. Don't worry, I'm going to set the parameters. Don't get nervous, ladies. You know me, I know you. I would never hurt you, but I need to preach to you. Not me, God. It's His word, not mine. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, this is a different book. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, this Greek word submit can either be in the active voice or the middle voice. In the active voice, the power of the subject belongs to God. But this is not in the active sense. This is in the middle voice. And what it means is, it is a voluntary coming under the husband. That makes, you know, you go, Pastor, why do you bring up all these little tenses and nuances? Because it's important. It helps us understand the word. It's not that you're being bared down on by God in the active sense. It's a middle voice. Ladies, you must willingly submit to your husband voluntarily. Now, God doesn't force you. But if you want to honor the name of Christ, and you want to honor His name in word and deed, and be thankful, you got to do this. I mean, it's simple. Richard Melnick nails it. Got a 3-2 fastball and knocked it out of the park with this. In the middle voice, it describes a voluntary submission. I had found the middle voice earlier, and then I found this, and it came together. In the middle voice, it describes voluntary submission, which resembles that of Christian humility. It may describe Christ's submission to God, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Church members to one another, Ephesians 5:21. Believers submitting in the exercise of their prophetic gifts, 1 Corinthians 14:32. Or proper order for wives. We just read one, Ephesians 5:22 and following. And also Colossians 3:18, that's where we are, Colossians 3:18. This latter use appeals to free agents to take a place of submission voluntarily. The term does not suggest slavery. I'm going to get to that. Servitude, and certainly never calls for the husband to make his wife submit. Now, let me give you some pastoral thoughts here. This is my view on this. And I'm just going to read because I wrote a bunch of stuff. Submit. It doesn't mean that the woman is to be treated badly. She is not, husbands. She is not your slave. It doesn't mean that your wife doesn't have a say in a particular matter. Audrey and I always talk about things. And when there's a tie, it's defaulted to me. Listen to your wives. They're pretty smart. And I know Audrey saved me several times from making really bad mistakes. Here's another one that this presupposes, and I got this as I was thinking about it. It presupposes the husband is in a relationship with Christ. Very, very important. And it doesn't mean totalitarian rule. What I say goes. That's it. Shut up. Be quiet. That's not how we treat our wives. That's not how we do it, gentlemen. Not as Christians, because that does not honor in word and deed what Paul just said. That does not honor Christ. You husbands, and I'll get to you next week, and ladies, I bet you all the ladies of the church are going to be sitting in the front row next week. USA, USA. What does it mean? My thoughts. What it does mean, talking down to your husband does not honor Christ. You never do anything right. I wish you were more like, that's talking down. Please don't do that. Cutting your husband down does not honor Christ. Because you're supposed to use your words, whatever you do in word and deed, you're supposed to bring glory to God. Fighting your husband on every single issue does not honor Christ. This is important because I've seen it used many times in 37 years of marriage, not my marriage, but other marriages. Withholding physical relations as a bargaining chip does not honor Christ. In fact, 1 Corinthians 7:15, if I can pull it up, 1 Corinthians 7:15 or 7:5 says this, do not deprive one another except perhaps for an agreement for a limited time. God created husbands and wives to have physical relations. Fact. Can't escape that. And what it ultimately means is, wives, you must lovingly obey your husband on all final matters. In doing so, you will honor Christ and God. Now, I know none of us have this problem, but wives, listen to me. Your relationship to your husband is kind of like your relationship to the Lord. How would you treat Jesus if he was in your home? Would you cut him down? Or would you build him up? Would you love him? Would you care for him? Yes, of course you would. Well, your husband was given to you by God. And therefore, you should love him. Don't worry, ladies, next week it's coming. Because the emphasis falls on the man, not the woman. But I want you ladies to understand that you can honor God by loving your husbands and building them up and telling them how wonderful they are. I get it. You can spend a lot of time. There's a lot of things I'm probably sure that Audrey's bugged with me. But if you want to honor Christ, you just do it. God's already said in this, in the tenses, he's not going to force you to do this. This is something you do willingly. I think every married couple should go back to their vows. When you're really in love, oh, baby. When everything was gushy. And then life hits you around a little bit, right? You stop those feelings of love. I don't think God wants that to stop. That's it's kind of a big deal, I think. He said, well, pastors aren't supposed to talk about this from the pulpit. Well, I think so. And I think it's important. And I know you ladies do a good job. If your husbands start telling me, then I'll maybe preach another sermon on another day. I've actually enjoyed this sermon. I don't often say that. Pattern. Wives, respect your husband. R-E-S-P-C-T. Wasn't that a song? It was a song in the 70s, 60s maybe. Yeah, there was also Helen Reddy's song, I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. I am too big to ignore. That was during the women's rights movement. And I'm all about women's rights. But I'm also about who God has put in charge of the home and that you do that lovingly. You know, I know I'm not perfect. Right, Audrey? Oh. I was not expecting that one. I know I'm not perfect, but what I do is I try to watch out for my wife. Oh boy, I bet you I won't have any men next Sunday. I gotta go over here and I gotta do this. Because I'm much rougher on the men than I am the women. I know which side my bread is buttered. as is fitting in the Lord. Aneko. Aneko. What is proper? So you could read it this way. As is proper in the Lord. Max Anders said this. Don't worry, I know I got to start coming in for a landing. To function properly, any institution must have clear lines of authority and submission. The family is no different. The wife's submission is proper in the Lord or fitting. Fitting means, well, he just forgot he said that, but I already got it. Fitting means proper or appropriate. Submission is God's desire and design for Christian wives. So it is to be obeyed by those who belong to the Lord. Let me say this again. This doesn't mean that the wife doesn't have a voice in decisions. It doesn't mean that men, you can trample your wife's wishes or desires. But let me just say this. Ladies, you submit willingly to Christ. How would that submission look? Well, take the image of that and apply it to your husband. Men, don't go out of the church today saying, "I told you so." You ladies want to love your husbands like you should. Can I get an amen? Give your husbands a break. They work hard. They have a lot of responsibility. Not that you don't have responsibility. Oh, gosh. I better watch that. But they have the added weight of having to answer to God for how they treat their wives and their kids. Isn't that right, Holly? I'll just be honest with you. Raising girls was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. It was actually good. You guys were good most of the time. That's next week. No, the week after. That's the week after. Because next week's his. Sweet. Chris goes sweet. You know, you got to chuckle a little bit, right? Okay, conclusion. Watch your words and your works this week. Do them to bring honor to Christ. Everything that comes out of our mouths should be done to glorify Christ. Everything that we do should be done to glorify Christ. Big one, big one, big one. And it's mentioned three times in a few verses. Be thankful. Again, I say, brothers and sisters, we get so much to be thankful for, so much. We're so blessed. Wives, treat your husbands like you would treat Christ, as is fitting the Lord.